Welcome to Sidetracked, your unofficial agency of record. I'm Shane.
And I'm Emily, and we help run Trek, a tech-driven, full-service creative agency based in Rockford, Illinois.
Here on the podcast, we tackle our clients' biggest marketing challenges. We reveal what's worked for us and dig into real-life case studies and practical strategies you can put to work today.
Curiosity is our compass, which is why we always start with a question. We're back for season two of Sidetracked. So excited.
Season two!
And our first big question of the season is, why work with an agency to build your e-commerce experience? And here to help us answer this question is, again, our technical director, Sam Basile. So welcome back, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Great to be back, guys.
So before we dive into how we answer this question practically, let's take a step back, start with the fun question. Hopefully it's easy, maybe it's not. What is the best or worst e-commerce experience you've had recently? Shane, you start.
Okay. Let's see, best e-commerce. Okay, I'm a really big reader. And I love buying books. I love buying books in person at my local bookstore, but I also order a lot of books online. And I don't like buying books from certain places that won't be named. So in recent years, I have loved a website called bookshop.org. It's a way to support independent bookstores, but through like a one central location that offers a good e-commerce experience. So a portion of the money that you spend on books on bookshop.org can go to the independent bookstore of your choice. And they have a really good e-commerce experience because it just feels easy. Like, it's what we've come to expect. You can put all the books you want in your cart. You order them. You get an email confirmation. It's all very pretty. So I'd say that's one of my go-to e-commerce websites these days.
And everything functions the way you would expect, like the tracking yes. number works and the links yes. and email kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. Sam, what about you?
How about this for an atypical answer? Maybe you wouldn't expect this. Shoe shopping. Best experiences okay. I've seen with shoe shopping online are some of the bigger, well-known vendors, and I like them because you can start off with thousands of pairs of men's shoes available to you, but within a few short clicks you are down to exactly what you're looking for without jumping around screen to screen to screen. I mean, it's filtering down as fast as you need it. It's very quick, it's very accurate, and it's easy. And it's an easy experience.
Because of the filtering.
Yeah. And without having to leave and jump to different screens, you know, you just start off zoning in right from that screen. And once you've got it down to six or eight choices, then you can bounce through. And then you can make your selection from there. But it's very, very painless in my opinion.
So yours is you may not know exactly what you're looking for. You know, you need a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm. I need a brown pair of shoes in yeah. a certain size available now.
Right. Yeah. And so being able to get to starting with like kind of a vague beginning, being able to narrow right. down yeah. to make a purchase quickly.
Yeah. You start with like, I'm working with men's shoes and then color, size, style. And before you know it, you're down to a choice that's manageable. Mm.
Yeah, I think my answer is maybe a combination of what both of you are saying. It's very underrated having a well-functioning e-commerce experience that everything goes exactly how you expect it to. You know, it should feel very effortless. So I'm thinking of these different apps that you can buy for your children to occupy them on the plane. And you download the app, and then before you even access the content, of course, they want you to buy the subscription or whatever. And you give it all this information about, like, I want my kid to be having an educational experience, or really it's just fun, or it's just entertainment, and their age range and the types of information that they're most interested in, like STEM learning or reading comprehension. And then it customizes what it's going to offer you based on what I told it I needed. And then right out the gate, it's helping me get the most value, see the most value for what's most top of mind for me. And I think I've seen this experience a little bit more in across the board in websites as well, not just apps. And being able to, like, from the beginning, customize your experience and then see value easier, because it's almost like they're telling you, we have exactly what you want because of all these reasons. Mm-hmm. And then I see that exactly matching the product that I'm getting, which is like totally a marketing thing. And you guys know I'm a sucker for like good marketing. And like, I wonder, would I actually like this product if it wasn't presented to me this way? I think the answer is probably no in some cases, but I appreciate the experience of it. So I guess that's a long way of saying, for me, it's about like the experience of buying and feeling like the money was well spent.
And in that case, like, especially with an app, the marketing and the UX are part of the product. So mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I also like post sale experiences too, where, you know, that not only here's your receipt, but, you know, we've got your order underway. We'll text you when it's on its way. Here's where you can track it. Mm-hmm. Those are all good experiences to have in, as a user, especially if the purchase is large.
I love a follow-up email that gives me tips on how to use the product or mm-hmm. how to get more from the product. That happened recently with something I bought. And they sent every day for the first week after it arrived a new tip in an email on how to get the most out of it. And it got me using it right away, seeing value from it right away, like you said, Emily. And now I'm more loyal to this product because I feel like I got my money's worth from it.
Yeah. So as we're all consumers that constantly are buying things online, it's a common experience from a consumer standpoint. This then translates over into the business, the B2B space, in a lot of ways. And as a B2B marketing agency, a lot of companies have been coming to us and they're raising this need for a store, or maybe they're just saying, we want to create this type of experience. And we're noticing this trend of this e-commerce experience permeating the B2B world. So maybe we can talk a little bit about, you know, what that kind of looks like in a B2B context first. Like, what are the things, Sam, when I come to you and I say, there's a client who has this need on their site, and you say, that's e-commerce, that's an e-commerce yeah. need. Like, what are those flags for you?
The first one often is they want the consumer, whoever it is, whether it be another business client or the general public, is they want the ability to select multiple things and have that checkout experience, right? Rather they're just giving away the stuff or they're actually charging for it. The ability to cart things together so that when you provide your information for shipping and perhaps billing, you're doing it one time. There's a lot of options out there in commerce solutions that are just buy now type thing. But in a lot of those cases, that every time you hit the buy, you are repeating yourself as to the shipping information or the purchasing information. So that's the biggest flag. Secondly, go ahead.
Sorry to stop you. You say perhaps purchase, which kind of brings up a point of e-commerce is maybe the way that you interact with things on a website, kind of what you're saying, add to cart. It's not even necessarily like a purchase transaction. It could be a transaction like I'm giving you information about myself to get something, like more of a tailored logic-based mm-hmm. form that I'm selecting all of these things to build a quote or mm-hmm. to build a playbook or to build something.
Or to get a free sample. Like maybe it is a physical free sample, but I'm not paying for it. But I still have to give you my address so you can ship it to me. And I still want my shipping confirmation afterwards.
And I want three samples because I am interested in these three. I don't know which one I really want, but you ship me these three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like say you're key. Like a paint company. Like I want to try like these three. I want these three paint chips shipped to me or small samples of the paint.
Oh, the sticky and you're wallpaper. Offering this
for free. Yes,
those ads are going to get me one of these days. You're going to see wallpaper behind me by the end of the season. I guarantee.
We did that at home with blinds. You know, I want to look at these three types of fabric to see which fabric we were interested in, color and you know, density and shade. So send me these samples. Mm-hmm.
That's a big B2B, I think, resurgence of samples, physical, tactile things. And then you can continue to your second point, your second red flag.
Well, and then along with that, you know, the objects don't always have to be physical in terms of, mm-hmm. they could be, you know, I want to download these three things, right? And they could be large enough again where they could go back to, so that's the one, that's, you know, one aspect we want to look at. The second is volume of information they want to present in terms of that kind of, some of it could be variations of the same. Going back to the blind example, you know, certain fabric in multiple colors or, industrial, certain size, objects in terms of volume they can handle or, and size of fittings and things like that. They're essentially the same models with multiple configurations on them. So
that starts to get complicated too, the data management of that, which I guess leads me to my next question, which is, let's say we say, okay, you're asking for this type of experience in one or both of those scenarios you just described. Who do you need to have on your team? And back to our original question of like why working with an agency might be helpful here. Who do you need to have on your team to make something like this work?
Well, there's two sides to these. From the perspective of the actual, it really always needs to drop back to the data, right? If you don't start with a good look at that data, you're going to run into trouble later as you try to resolve all of this out on the site. So you do need someone, you need to be working with someone who has a familiarity with that data, to understand whether you can, to understand like part numbers, schemes, again, like variations, maybe simply model number dash some codes. So somebody who understands that information so that as we start to gather that data to start going into the e-commerce experience, we can organize it properly.
And would you say typically that's somebody on, like, if you're working with an agency, is that somebody like at Trek or is that somebody at the client site that knows the product in and out?
It's a partnering of the two, because hopefully what we've done at Trek is done enough. We got enough under our belt so that we know what questions to ask you. So we're not just like going out there and, you know, dropping this into your lap and saying, we need information about your product. That's a very daunting task, right? But if we as Trek partners can hand them maybe perhaps a spreadsheet that says, can you fill in, you know, the name of the product, the model number and just price, you know, and help them to fill out basically a product list if they don't already have it. Then we can then engage with them and ask questions about what we see and help to develop that product base for them.
So it's kind of a combination, but I do think in thinking back on my experiences, you definitely do need somebody on that end, on the client mm-hmm. end, that is willing to answer questions or figure out problems when the data gets, when you're managing data in a new place, you need someone who knows the data really well to be involved.
Right. Has a product knowledge at that level. to tell you, to give you the answers you need or find out from the right person. Who,
So you need a data expert, a partner, and then someone internally. Who else? What other kinds of roles would come into play in building a really good e-commerce experience?
I think you also need a really good content marketer. You need someone who understands search engine optimization, because sometimes we'll get from the client that spreadsheet back and it's got all of the product titles and the product descriptions. But then the next step before we can publish that to the website is going through and optimizing those for search, because we want these products to be found when people are looking for them. And that person can also work on then the post-sale experience, the automated emails that are going to go out, the abandoned cart emails. So I think an important part of an e-commerce experience is that abandoned cart flow, because people are going to put things in their cart. They're going to leave them there. You want to try to get some of those people back. And then also the experience for people, the email experience for people who have successfully purchased as well. So I think you need a writer, a content developer to be working with you on this.
That's a really great point, because let's draw back on what an e-commerce site is. Essentially, an e-commerce site is a highly specialized website, right? And so there's still, when you pull back, it's still a website. And so you still need, you must have all of those aspects that are required for a good website that extends into e-commerce, right? The SEO, the accessibility, the the general flow.
The design, the UX. Design.
There's another case with product, right? They'll have all kinds of product imagery, but you know, it might be all different angles, different background colors. If you need some, maybe in an agency to help normalize all that imagery, so that everything looks the same on the page when it's in a grid, right? You don't have pictures from all different angles and looks and views and backgrounds. The people, the creative team at Trek can do wonders with that imagery to make it all look like it's sourced from one source.
And then you can take it a step further and do things like, you know, 3D interactive experiences showing the product, or 360 views of the product, if you're working with an agency.
And then finally, we talked about the post experience from the content team. It's not only the SEO and tagging, but all of the things that are related to the post sale experience, the emails that go out, and those are all highly configurable. And so great content on that is also important.
Yeah, because you want to have a personalized experience. So, you know, the type of email that says, hey, if you bought this product, you might like this other complementary product that can do cross-sell and upsell. Those, it's not that there are thousands of emails in the system. It's that there are a few emails, but they're being personalized with variable data. So somebody who knows how to set up that variable data personalized experience based on the data that's in the CRM.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, to sum up what both of you are saying, the main answer to the question is, like, you get all the value of a strategic marketing partner that you would in like marketing automation programs or just a standard website, because an e-commerce site essentially marries those two things together. And so you need to think strategically about the full thread of the customer's journey in making a purchase or whatever the transaction is. And that's part of the value in having an agency partner in this kind of context that you might not consider, you know, right off the bat. If you're thinking about an e-commerce site, you might think, you know, I need someone really specialized. And you might still. I'm not going to say that, you know, an agency is going to solve all your problem. But I think people don't come to us for an e-commerce site because they think like, oh, you do marketing. But all the same ideas and the way that a customer moves through from information to taking that end action of a purchase or a transaction is the same, really. So you get that benefit.
Yeah, so we help you sell your site through good content and good marketing, or sell your product, excuse me. And then from there, it's up to you to fulfill that, complete that order with the client, right? Answer any additional questions they might have and fulfill that sale.
Yeah, that's the part the agency can't do is the actual fulfillment and then the customer service afterward if needed. Right. That's still on our client's team.
Yeah, we're not outsourcing the operations here to an agency. It's the setup, initial monitoring of things and infrastructure, which I guess leads me to my last question then is, obviously, we've talked a lot about HubSpot. We're believers in automating where you can to make things more personalized with less work, working smarter with your tool stack. So what are maybe some of the things we've learned when we've done this before and ways that we've approached, you know, deploying the sites through technology in different platforms or just general thoughts on the engine behind it all? Sam,
I think I've always had a philosophy. I've heard this. It's not my original quote, but I heard this at conference, and it's build your treehouse in the tallest trees, right? So we use HubSpot because it is a great platform to work with from a content management standpoint. The whole aspect of it, integration. So when you're thinking e-commerce, then you need to look at those needs as well as like, what product am I going to choose that's showing leadership in that front? And so, you know, choose your product wisely in that respect, so that you're not, don't shortchange, the platform, and then be disappointed that you had a lot of development effort and it didn't go as planned because the platform doesn't support what's happening. So.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest learning in deploying a couple of sites is that the platform makes the big difference on the amount of work for initially getting launched and for your team ongoing. Not all platforms are created equal. But Shane, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for someone launching an e-commerce site for the first time or relaunching? It doesn't have to be the first
or
time.
Or relaunching.
I guess. Yeah.
I think my biggest piece of advice is to watch what's happening on the back end. So we have a few clients that have e-commerce set up, but weren't really watching like the data about what was coming in. And there's a lot that can be learned from how much is being left in abandoned carts, what are the most popular products. What are the products where people tend to put them in their carts and then abandon? Why? What are products that are often bought together? Because if you've never done e-commerce before, the data might surprise you. Like sometimes people surprise you. And then you can realize like, oh, people are buying these two products together that I wouldn't have thought go together. Why? What's their application? And then maybe it uncovers an application you didn't realize existed for your own products. And you can start then positioning those products together. So yeah, I think there's a lot to be learned from the data that you capture if you dig into it afterwards.
Yeah, another great point from the marketing standpoint is, okay, we're all guilty of it, right? You put something in the cart because you're price shopping, right? You abandon a cart because you found it cheaper. And a part of a marketing agency can do is do competitive analysis on similar products, right? To say, well, the reason they may be abandoning this product and this cart is because there's a major price difference between you and your competitor on the same product or on a similar product. So it may help for you to better understand what you're selling.
I know I add to cart all the time just to see if they'll send me a coupon. But if I'm like, this is too expensive, I'm not ready to buy this. They'll be like, I wonder if I wonder what emails they're going to send me or incentives they'll send me.
Here's the thing, though. Consumers have gotten really smart about that. So I don't think these days that it's a good strategy to send the coupon. Because you're just undercutting yourself. I think it actually makes more sense than if you find out that people are doing that with a particular product to send communications about the value of that product and maybe compared to competitors. So like specific competitive comparisons that you can send out that get them to buy it at the price that you're originally offering it at.
Yeah. Likewise, people I think are shipping costs adverse. They do not want to pay shipping. So you just might as well just bake the shipping into the cost of your product and call free shipping. Mm-hmm. And everybody's just a lot happier and none the wiser. I don't know if they're, but you know, that something about the free shipping is rings true to them and they like that.
Mm-hmm. Problem solved. So I think this week we have somebody who's we've been dealing with a number of years already. We maybe weren't considering e-commerce first and then recommended it based on some of the needs we talked about in our big question, identifying, hey, e-commerce could be a fit here. Shane, do you want to tell us a little bit about this client and what was going on, the problem
was solved? Yes. So this client is in an industrial space and provides custom solutions. So a lot of the projects that come to this client, they're, you know, big engineering problems. The team is, you know, really tailoring solutions to the client. But alongside that, they also offer things like standard off-the-shelf industrial products and a lot of spare parts. So they may provide a custom solution and then their customer will keep coming back to them to replace spare parts over time. And for a long time, their customers had to call on the phone to order these standard off-the-shelf parts or spare parts. And so we suggested, well, why not throw those up on an e-commerce site? It's not the company's main offering. It's not their bread and butter, but it's something that they do provide to their customers. Why not make it easier for customers to access those things to, you know, be able to order them 24/7 and get them shipped right away when they need them? Because often when you need a spare part, it's because something went down, you're dealing with downtime, you want it right away. So we suggested an e-commerce solution just for this part of their business. And it's been great. It's not only allowed their customers to access these spare parts more easily, but it's also now those parts are out there on search. It's drawn in new customers because people are like, you know, out there searching, I need this particular water meter, and they can find it, order it right away. And then they're like, oh, who's this company? Maybe I'm going to contact them for more, because it was a good customer experience. That's not typical of that industry, I would say.
Yeah, that's a great summary of what was happening with them. You know, that's definitely just a subset of what they can do. And it's definitely the things that are not highly engineered, which is what their specialty is. But there's still a demand for it. And so by placing those on the on a site, in this case, we chose Shopify because it's an easy entry point and gives them all the features that they need without a lot of, you know, upfront investment. You know, with that, we can offer that subset. And generally increase sales on it, on things that normally people may not have known they had.
Yeah. And it frees up their team to focus on the custom engineering instead of taking orders over the phone for, you know, things that would be easy to order online.
I like the thinking here too, and how it's not a all or nothing. Like, you can't start until you're ready to sell all your products online, or you can only sell your products online if you can sell all of them. That can be a stumbling block to getting started with these kinds of easy wins or better money, more customers. You know, that's better customer experiences. And I like that this was an instance where e-commerce is not a fit 100% of the time, but, you know, maybe 30% it is. And that's worthwhile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as Shane said, that puts it up in a whole different SEO and search engine world too, because now it's products showing up with your name on them versus just your website and content showing up with your name on them. So it's just a different avenue to get yourself in front of potential clients.
Yeah. And in this case, we were able to integrate the Shopify e-commerce store with their HubSpot CRM and CMS. And so we can do the abandoned cart emails. We can do all of the analysis of the orders that are coming in, the orders that are being abandoned. We can send follow-up marketing emails to the people who have purchased via the e-commerce store. And then the technical sales team can follow up with leads that come in via the e-commerce store that are at, you know, high-value target prospects.
Problem solved. There you go.
Problem solved.
Another win.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Sam. It's great having you back.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Thanks for being here.
See you at Sidetrack soon, right?
Oh, yeah. Ring the bell. We'll see you there.
Okay. All righty.
This year marks our 30th year in business. In this season of Sidetracked, we're gathering Trekkies at the bar to reminisce about our favorite moments from the last three decades.
All right, Patty, what's your favorite Trek memory?
I've got so many, but I guess in most recent years, my favorite has been when I celebrated my 25th Trekiversary here at Trek, and I came in the morning of, and all of the employees had come back after I left work the day before, and I clucked pigs, for those who don't know, and they had blown up all these pink balloons and drawn pig faces on them. I get teared up just because it was so awesome. And then they had done some a 3D print of a pig, and they had flowers for me, and it was just a really special day. And then they took me out for lunch, so it was just, I felt loved throughout the years, but it just meant the world that they took the time and came back after hours.
We stayed that night. Yes, because they left because they knew you were staying a little later, and they didn't want to be inconspicuous and like we're all staying. So like they went essentially kind of like drove around the block, right? And then they were like, "Has Patty left?" I'm like, "No, not yet. Something you were doing was keeping you here." And then like you left. I'm like, "The Eagles left. The Eagles left the building." And so we all came back. We're blowing up all the balloons, drawing the pig faces on it, and it was a lot of fun.
And Mike, did you make the 3D printed pig?
I did make the 3D printed
How?
Pig.
How? Was it gold?
No, it was silver.
Okay.
So we got a silver and printed out a 3D pig for her. And
add it to the collection.
Add it to the collection.
How many pigs do you have?
I have no idea.
Okay. How many in your office? Because I know you have more at home.
Yeah, I have no idea because I have this little pig fairy that I come in the morning sometimes, and there's like new pigs that just arrive on my office.
I have no idea who that would have been.
So
pig fairy.
Don't tell anybody. I know. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So.
Cheers to 30 years.
Thanks for joining us. You can learn more about Trek at trek.com.
And if you like this episode of Sidetrack, rate and review it, share it with a friend, subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
See you next time.
See you next time.